welcome to episode 125 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in to our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's anything you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Laura, Donna, Elizabeth, and Lindsay. While it may not surprise you to hear that this past week several Outlander travel agents headed down to Florida for a little theme park fun, it may surprise you to hear that it was not to Walt Disney World. This week we want to share with you all the fun and excitement we had on our most recent adventure to Universal Orlando Resort. So let's get started. So sad to say Laura wasn't with us. The rest of us were there.
We missed you, Laura.
Yeah. I missed you guys, but you looked like you had a blast.
It was all right.
She wanted to hug me.
I'll make up for it in New Orleans.
So I will say this was, I mean, it was a lot of fun, but this was a work trip, and yes, they worked us. We were busy. It was the kind of trip where they said, you know, bring everything you need at 8 a.m. when you meet, that you're going to need the whole day because you're not going back to your room until after everything's done, which was like 10 o'clock most nights.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, the glamorous life was still kind of, you know, busy.
Yeah.
But it was fun. We had a good time.
And we learned a lot about the person. And, you know, these Universal Orlando is a wonderful theme park complex, I guess we can say. And it's about to get bigger. Mm-hmm. There's a third park opening at the end of May. And it's really interesting, the marketing for this too, because they're basically saying it's a third theme park. It is a water park, and Universal had Wet n' Wild for a long time, and Wet n' Wild was fine for what it was. It was a Wet n' Wild park, but they've closed that, and now they're now opening this Volcano Bay, and they're really touting it as a third park, not as a water park that is in addition to their other theme parks, but right. It is a full experience, and they're changing their ticketing so that now you have three park passes. You can still get two park passes if you wish, but, you know, adding that third park option is a possibility now as well. So, and that opens at the end of May. We didn't get to see it though.
We saw from some of the stuff. Oh, it's going to be right beside Cabana Bay. So if you're at all familiar with Universal Orlando, it's all very walkable. All of the resorts are within walking distance of the parks. But Cabana Bay is kind of the farthest out. It's about a 20-minute walk to the theme parks, but it's right by Volcano Bay. And when you go to Volcano Bay, if you're not staying on property, you're going to actually park in the theme park parking garages. So, and then you'll shuttle over to the water park. But there's some cool stuff they're doing at that water park. They have this new technology. I guess it's not totally new. It's kind of borrowed, but it's called Tapu Tapu, and it's basically you have a reserved spot in line, and then they let you know when it's your turn and you go. So there's not like this big long line on the steps where you're dragging your tube up all these stairs. I mean, they did some really cool stuff.
But it's more than that too, because it's not just it's got that sort of restaurant pager ability, but then it'll interact with various things in the park, so you can actually make things happen with it. It almost has a little screen that reminds me of those, what are those little virtual pet games? What are they called? Yes, exactly. So not that I know that it will do that. I don't know, but it looks like it's that same sort of screen where like you may actually see little digital things happen on your screen. So we just saw pictures of it. We didn't get to see it in action, but it does look really, really cool.
And there's going to be like some kind of mechanism that gets your tubes up to the top, so you don't have to carry them up, which is nice.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yep. And the whole thing, you know, the Volcano Bay idea, obviously there's this huge centerpiece volcano, which you can see very easily from Cabana Bay, but also from around
the interstate.
I will say the water park backs right up to the interstate. So coming in on it, it's like, whoa, that's really close. But it looks like the landscaping and everything will, you know, give it protection from that.
Did you guys stay? What resort are you talking about? The resort?
We stayed at Sapphire Falls, but we actually toured all of the resorts that they had. We went through Cabana Bay. We went through Royal Pacific. We went through the Hard Rock and Portofino Bay. And what's the last one?
Lowe's. Sapphire Falls.
Sapphire Falls.
Yeah.
And they're building another one called Aventura, that's supposed to be opening shortly as well.
So I have this kind of weird question for you, since you stayed at Lowe's Sapphire Falls. Did they have really big bathtubs?
That is a weird question.
Really big what?
Bathtubs.
So the Lowe's we stayed at when we were in San Diego had like this beautiful glass shower, and then across from it had a bathtub, like a bathtub that I could fit in.
You're right.
And really play out.
Our room didn't have a bathtub.
Nope.
No, but the one we saw some of the suites at Portofino, and they had the huge like jacuzzi tubs.
Yeah, and it's and all of those resorts are Lowe's resorts, so they you know to some extent.
Some are run by Lowe's, some are operated by.
But University. Yeah, Portofino and the Hard Rock and. The Royal Pacific and Sapphire Falls, they're all Lowe's properties, but the management varies depending on which one you're at.
Well, you got to try those bathtubs out because they're amazing.
I'm trying to feel in gyps, though. We didn't have a bathtub now.
I know. I never take a bath. I just didn't. Yeah. It didn't even occur to me.
Sapphire Falls was actually, it was great for me to stay in because, you know, I do have rather expensive taste in hotels. You might know that. And so I like to stay in deluxe properties. And Sapphire Falls and Cabana Bay were built with the idea that basically Universal only had deluxe properties to offer. So it was very difficult for a family to go to Universal Studios and stay there on more of a budget. And so they introduced Cabana Bay a couple years ago. And one of the things about, besides Cabana Bay being fairly inexpensive, you know, a value price, really, it also had suites for six, as well as standard rooms. So it was nice for bigger families. It has this great retro theming. And then, the thing is, the catch, if you will, is that it didn't come with the Universal Express Pass, the Unlimited Express Pass, which the other three Lowe's resorts, you know, the other three on-property resorts up to this time, all of them had the Unlimited Express Pass. Well, now you have this resort that doesn't have it. And I thought, well, for the price difference, will it really, you know, be worth it? But having toured it now, and then also having stayed at Sapphire Falls, which also is a lower price resort, it's less than $200 a night. So we're talking the same price as some Hampton Inns and things like that. It is a four diamond property. It was very luxurious. I mean, I felt like I was in a very nice hotel, all the amenities that you would get in a really nice hotel. It doesn't come with that unlimited express pass. And for me, I guess I love the unlimited express pass because I like the freedom to not stand in line and, you know, be among the people and all of that. But if you're going off season or if your family isn't a big thrill ride family, it's wonderful because you still, you know, you're convenient to the parks, walking distance. We walked, you know, both days. We walked to and from the parks. There is transportation if you don't want to walk it, but it is a very easy walk, really. Then, you know, not having that express pass, as long as you don't mind, if you're there off season, the lines aren't too bad anyway. And if you're not going to ride the thrill rides, if you've got little ones, you got a great deal. You don't really need them.
Yeah. I stayed at Cabana Bay in December with, it was me and my husband and two other adults. And we stayed in one of the family suites that would sleep six. So I have a family of five and I'm always trying to check out those kind of rooms. And it was really, I mean, it would have been great for my family. But having said that, when we go back in August, we're staying at Portofino because we want that express pass, especially in the summer. We didn't feel like we needed it in December, especially the first weekend in December. But in August, I think we're going to need it.
Yeah. So that goes into your decision-making process when you're booking.
I really think that I think I would. I like the express pass too, but we really like doing the VIP tour, my husband and I. So I think this would be a great resort to stay at if you were going to do the VIP tour, because then you're VIP lanyards, your express pass afterwards anyway. So
yeah,
I mean, and I'm in love with strong water. The rum front there, I could have drank my way through that entire menu had I had more time and more money. But the, you know, the whole idea of having you have your rum captain there and he kind of takes you through the journey of the rums from all over the Caribbean, all over the world. And, this is a great feature. And it's not something, like you said, it's not something that I was the whole time we were there, I was calling it, this is a moderate, but it has very deluxe tendencies because restaurant and bar is not something you would find in your typical value or affordable resort. Right. That is definitely, a major feature of this.
We had celebrities in that bar when we were there.
Well, a celebrity, but it was freaking Rick Springfield.
Both nights.
Which is amazing. I mean,
and that was at Sapphire?
Yes.
And what's the name of the restaurant, Lindsay?
Rick Springfield.
Oh, no. Rick Springfield. It's called Strong Water.
It's a restaurant that specializes in rum.
Yes.
It specializes in rum, but they have all these wonderful, unique cocktails. And I had, so it's called a milk punch, and it's made with milk, but you can't taste or see the milk. It's like magic. The milk just disappeared, but they take rum and tea and milk and something else that I can't remember.
Because the rum was really good.
And they like ferment it for 3 days and it turns into the most glorious thing in the world. And it's very fresh and lemony. And it just went down very smooth. And they serve it in a nice rock glass with a giant ice cube in the center of the glass. And it comes out in a little glass milk jug and you just pour it in your
mouth. How cute is that?
Handcrafted
stuff for sure.
Which was the motel that you guys showed the Minion suites at?
Portofino.
Portofino.
Yeah.
They
were really cute.
Yeah, those are family suites. And I think what's really fun about them is that that's two rooms. And so the first room just looks like a normal room at Portofino, which is beautiful, you know, but king bed and, you know, nice white linens and all that. And then you open this door that's like straight out
like
of
a vault,
like a vault. And inside is this like minions just explode everywhere. There's minions everywhere.
You know, I posted a picture of that room and I had very mixed reviews. Some people thought it was super cute and some thought it was so creepy.
It's a lot of eyes. There's no doubt about it. Minions are all eyes.
I just want to stay in that room. I think
it made me wish I was child size.
Well, you know,
I want to sleep in those beds.
Actually, they're twin size beds, you could sleep in that room.
Yeah, I was surprised because I've seen pictures of those suites before. I'd never gotten to see one. We were all very excited. We're like, "Oh, we're going to see a Minions room!" And I thought the beds were probably like basically like fake beds, almost like cribs or whatever. But they are a decent size.
They look small to me.
Shorter but wider than a twin size.
Or maybe they were like regular size, but then the way that the bed curved around, because it looked like a spaceship or something.
It was way more spacious than I thought it was going to be. I actually did feel like.
Did you lay down in it?
No, because that's tacky.
Because that's awful.
That's tacky. But
then the maid has to come clean the room again.
I was pleasantly surprised. And Lindsay and I both commented on this. We were like, "Oh, that. I actually might be able to sleep in that bed."
I could definitely sleep in that bed. So the one we didn't get to see, there is another themed suite on property. It's at the Rose Royal Pacific, right? That's the Jurassic Park one?
I think that's the right resort. Yes, I think so.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
There's two.
Yeah.
Is there another one or is it just
two? No, I think that's it. Yeah, that's because that's a fairly new thing for them to do. Are those themed? And there aren't tons of them. So if you want one, call us now to book for.
Yeah,
they're a little bit more than the other.
Well, it's two rooms.
It's a two bedroom suite. Well, it's a one bedroom suite technically. It's a two room suite, we should say, because it's basically just two bedrooms. There's no like living sitting room
There wasn't an extra bathroom.
Well, they did say that it's usually a random thing. Is that if they've got everything booked and you just happen, they could give you that suite just, as a gimme, as a random thing. You can request it if it is open at the time and you do pay the full value of whatever it's worth if it's requested and you actually get it.
Right. Or you can just book it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was super cute. And, it was funny because I posted a picture of it as well. And the reactions, I got more reactions to that than pretty much anything else, including even, Cabana Bay is a really fun resort. It's very Mad Men, very,
the Jack LaLanne Fitness Center. Awesome. Yeah.
And now they have that little delivery bot, which we didn't get to see. Did you see the article?
Yes, I did.
So they have this little I'm not going to say Amazon because it probably isn't Amazon, but a droid that will deliver. So if you order more towels or whatever, they can, this droid can bring it up to your room.
My husband would freak if that happened.
It's so Jetsons. I just love it. It's like so 50s futuristic.
That resort has two pools. It's got a lazy river. Mm-hmm. It has a big water slide. I mean, it's a really cool
resort. I got to say, their food court there, I was really impressed with the offerings of the food court. the choices that you have, and the healthy choices there too. And the pricing is on point for a value, and for if you have a big family and if you have a lot of mouths to feed, that's a really, I thought everything was very affordably priced in that food court.
You know, another thing we should mention, I know we made that differentiation about the unlimited express pass for staying at the deluxe resorts. But if you stay at, Sapphire Falls or Cabana Bay, you will get the extra hour in the morning. And if you're a Harry Potter person and that is why you're going to Universal, that is a huge
benefit.
That's
what you need. Yeah.
You want to get
need
there.
The express pass.
Right. You want, but because they don't take the express pass in the Harry Potter rides anyway. But yeah, getting to be in Hogsmeade or in Diagon Alley before the crowds get there is so amazing.
It'll make a world of difference to not only your experience, but your pictures. I mean, I was going back and looking at the pictures that we had taken when we did that and how there was nobody there. Mm-hmm. There was nobody in Diagon Alley but us.
Yeah. It really does let you have sort of a moment alone with Harry Potter, which is kind of not actually there's no character dressed up like Harry Potter, I guess, because he's so,
but all the people are kind of characters, right? I mean, you know, they really stay in character, the wizards and witches that walk around the streets. I mean,
and they wear their house colors and they take that.
And some of those older people are just like these grizzled old wizards that, they're really cool. It's really cool.
It's Santa Claus on the off season.
So I spent quite a bit of time just walking around in there and just kind of people watching. And I loved how they're, I don't know. So what are they called? Cause they're not cast members. They're, what are the employees called?
I think it was called staff.
I loved how the staff that was in the courtyards and they'd have the wands, they would make some of the magic that you can make happen with the wands happen when kids were watching. And that was one of the neatest things, to see the lights light up and to see and to watch them turn the fountain on behind somebody so that the fountain came on and surprised the people who were standing there. And it was really nice to watch around because they were actually making magic. And that's kind of what you want on vacation. And that's that nice feeling. But I really enjoyed that. And it made me want to buy a wand so bad, but I did not.
But Sandy knows from experience that you don't bang on things in the water area.
Because you see something that says press here.
Don't bang on it. Don't do that in the water area unless you want to get wet.
Hey, in my defense, that wasn't technically a water area. That was just a little kid playground.
There was
with
a water
slide. Yeah.
How was they not a water area?
Well, one of the things that when I was taking the Universal course that I really kind of became impressed with and that I never knew is that Universal has some really cool, like, parade options.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of them being the after the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, that some of the floats, you know, come down to Universal and are in a special parade there. Well, my parents grew up in New York City. That was, you know, if Elizabeth had asked me about, you know, kind of my first experience travel, from another podcast, and that would have been one of my first memories is seeing the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade live as a child. Mm-hmm. And so to know that I could see that again down there was really cool. Yeah. Well, then when you guys went, you got to see a really cool parade.
We were on the floats.
Yeah.
I didn't want to give away your secret.
We weren't at the party. We were the party.
You brought the party. Yeah, I actually, my experience with Mardi Gras was in college, and that's about all we're going to say about that. But as somebody who doesn't like crowds, I didn't like Mardi Gras. Like, I did not really enjoy being at Mardi Gras. It was just too crowded and too much going on and it was just too much. So, you know, I know that we're going to be in this Mardi Gras parade. And I'm like, okay, that's great. And, you know, I certainly can have a good spirit about it. It's not, you know, I'm not traumatized by it or anything. It just wasn't something that, like, spoke to me as an experience. that parade made Mardi Gras speak to me again. It was like, this is so much fun. And it, you know, all we threw beads and we got to ride these magnificent floats. Yeah. I mean, these like huge, huge floats, all themed to sort of Mardi Gras crew ideas.
We were sprites.
We were sprites, fairies.
You can't be fairies. We were sprites.
Don't use the F word.
Yeah. We had these little pink sheets, and our beads were sort of color coordinated with our float. And so the people who were watching the parade could really build up a collection. There was one kid that we saw that was like, I think it was Lindsay and I were laughing at him. He had this system. So he would catch a bead, he'd throw it on the ground. He had this huge pile of beads.
He'd catch it like right down the ground.
So we had to learn proper bead throwing technique. But honestly, as the whole thing went on, and it was funny because we all at some point went, oops, sorry.
Yeah. I hit that lady in the face.
Sandy recorded, well, you didn't record the guy getting hit in the head, but I hit somebody in the head while you guys were recording live.
Oh. Yeah, it happened. We all did it.
It was an accident. So if you're listening,
but it really was one of those theme park moments come true. Like, that's just one of those things where I sort of always wanted to work at a theme park and, you know, I've just never done it.
To be in the parade.
But yeah, it was like we were in the parade and they had people in these amazing costumes on stilts walking around us, and they had two horses that were in with the Pegasus float with these beautiful costumes, like gladiator, Grecian god and goddess on them, literally. And they just like beautiful, these beautiful people. And yeah, it was really amazing.
And even though it was a perk for us to do it, the general public could do it and sign up too. So it wasn't just us as travel agents.
They called my hotel room, or they had the automated message called the hotel room the very last day I was there that night. In the morning, I had a message on the machine, and it was Universal calling to ask if I wanted to participate in the Mardi Gras float, giving the instructions on where to go. And I really should have wrote it again, but I thought, oh, I want to try and catch some beads. I tried my darndest. I caught one strand of beads.
What? Really?
Yeah. I'm way better at throwing beads than I am at catching beads.
But you know, Laura, going back to the Macy's parade, you can be in that parade too. You can be one of the balloon handlers.
Yeah.
So, well, I was just thinking about, you know, my specialty areas around, one of my passions for travel is about making travel accessible for all people. Mm-hmm. And I saw that you guys were kind of on an upper level, but I'm wondering, you know, if any of those floats might be a great option for somebody who has mobility issues or whatever, to really kind of have the experience of a lifetime, to ride on one of those bridges, be able to throw, you know.
We didn't see all the floats, and I can tell you the one we were on was not accessible at all. It was actually rather tricky to get up and down on. I don't know if they offer that. I will say, if we can segue into sort of the accessibility of the Universal Parks, they have a 41-page guide on, you know, that tells you pretty much all sort of, you know, which rides have wheelchair transfers and where a wheelchair can just get right on the ride. And
we got to see, actually, that last day, Lindsay and Donna and I were riding the Escape from Gringotts, and there was a guy in a wheelchair who couldn't, he had to transfer from, but he couldn't get up and walk, because sometimes when people in a wheelchair, they can get up and walk, and they had, we had to wait, because we took the elevator, so we were hanging out over there, but we waited until the special car came that had that special door that opened that he could just slide onto the ride. So there were several they showed us that were like that, but we got to see it in action, so that was kind of cool.
And they're really, really good at it. I mean, it's very much, I think, behind the scenes, because that was the first time I'd ever seen the transfer like that, and how they have the transfer stations at Harry Potter. And I know when we were there before, and I was in my temporary wheelchair situation, it was easier, I think, than I thought it was going to be to get through queues and to get places.
Well, and the other thing is they have the trial swap room. So, almost for every single ride that they have. So that way, you know, if you do have some kind of an issue where you can't get on the ride or whatever, and your family wants to go ahead, you can still basically wait in the queue with them and just not ride the ride, but everybody else goes, and then, you know, or it's a parent and they've got to stay with the infant, and then the infant, the other parent takes the other kids, and then the kids get to ride the second time because they swap out parents.
Yeah.
My and there's a TV in there playing Harry Potter. You spent a lot of time in several of them, Donna. Did they, were they all had different, they all they were all the,
I think
the attractions?
She just called you a chicken. I
did. No, for motion reasons, not because she's a chicken.
No,
you were playing on the TV. I know, was it the Harry Potter movies?
There were several things in the Transformer child swap room. It was Transformer cartoons. Harry Potter rides, it was the Harry Potter movies. In the Despicable Me, it was, you know, it was Despicable Me was playing. So, you know, they had different movies and cartoons and all playing so that the kids were occupied.
And
it's air conditioned.
Yeah. And too. So if you need to cool off.
You're not outside the sun waiting to do the child swap.
We did go when my son was very young and we did the child swap and he had never seen Harry Potter before. But once he got into that child swap area, we had a heck of a time getting him out. He was like, the movie, it's really good. I want to watch it. We're like, no, it's theme park time. No, I want to stay here and watch the movie.
Whenever we did Disney with my mom in a wheelchair, we would park her by pretty much a trash can while we went inside. So it is nice that they can all stay together. Another thing that Universal does that this child swap thing helps eliminate is the lockers, because there's a lot of rides that you can't take anything on with you, not a cell phone, nothing, because it might fall out. And so they make you rent this locker and it's free up for a certain amount of time, but it can be kind of a cluster getting in and out of there. So if you have somebody who's going to do that child swap room, you can bypass the lockers. You can just hand them all your stuff whenever you go.
But even though it can be a cluster when it's busy, I really do like that their lockers are right there, right next to the rides, that you're not going to one spot. They're not all in one bank that you have to go to on the other side of the park. The having them right there was nice.
And they're free.
They're free up until about 30 minutes after the length of the ride queue.
Yeah.
So I just want to talk one more thing about the child swap before we move on, which is, you know, one thing you said was, well, your family gets to wait in line with you, which sounds like super fun, right? But waiting in line is actually, like, the lines, the queues are heavily, heavily themed.
Especially the Harry Potter ones.
Yeah, especially the Harry Potter ones.
So was the King Kong.
The King Kong one. And so, so the ability to go through. And I actually did see, this actually happened to me when I was at SeaWorld on that same trip. But I saw a kid who clearly did not want to ride the ride, but ask if he could go through the queue because he heard the noise coming from it and he could see there was some storyline going on. He just wanted to see the story of the queue. And so his dad basically asked, can he go through and not ride the ride? Like, will that be a problem? And it wasn't. But, you know, at Universal, they actually encourage you to do that. Go ahead, because part of the experience is the line. And then you can sit and there is seating in these child swap areas as well, which is nice. So air conditioned and seats.
And it's right there between like where you get on and off. So it varies
a little bit depending on the ride, but
it was very cool.
I thought Men in Black was kind of difficult to, you got to sort of remember where it is because of the, but anyway, if you know.
Well, Men in Black was a cool one because we were on that VIP tour. Yes. We should talk a little bit about the VIP tour.
Go ahead.
All right. So, one of the really cool things we got to do was take a VIP tour and, our particular guide, and I think that this might be true of other guides because I think it's conducive to this type of person, but he was quite the student of the way the rides worked and just theme park design and things like that. So he would give us all the background on the ride and the story. And one of the really nice things about VIP is you skip the lines. You truly go in the back doors and, you know, but he would take us behind the scenes even more and show us the ride vehicles and demonstrate how they work. And we got to go underneath the Mummy roller coaster and it's very cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
And it is a premium experience. There's a price tag that goes with it, but it is sort of the ideal way to, especially if you only have one day there to really see, because we powered through pretty much
all the big stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And I wrote all the things. I didn't sit out of anything, which I'm very proud of. But yeah, we hit every single one of them.
And then your lanyard for your VIP tour turns into an express pass. So when it's over, if there's a couple more hours in the park, your lanyard becomes your express pass for both parks. My husband and I have done this. We had done the VIP experience several times. And one time we actually got to have our own private VIP tour. And that was fantastic. I can't imagine doing these parks in the summertime or during busy season without this, because we were there around July 4th, and that's what we did. We did the VIP tour, and we did everything.
You're spoiled, but
but you also get a discount. You know,
it's not spoiled. It's I have a husband who doesn't like big crowds of people. Yeah. And he's not a people person.
And it makes it manageable. Like, yeah.
And you get a discount when you're shopping also.
Oh, true. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, another thing too, that they, if you are into, the security stuff, you know, like the Halloween night horror nights, they do VIP tours during that. And from what he was saying, it gets so crowded during those things that that is such a cool way. And you get the behind the scenes of
yeah, he said you pretty much are guaranteed to get through every house, every haunted house. So yeah, it's, yeah, it doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, I know. Like, oh my God, do this.
This year because I want to go do.
Yeah, I think you should research that, and we'll do a podcast about it, Lindsay.
And there are different levels.
There's someone to go with me.
There's ways to book it, in sort of a group VIP tour where you pay a little bit less, but then you'll be in a group of 12 people that you may or may not know. Or you can do private ones that are more expensive. And with the private ones, you really get to have much more control over your
day. If you want to spend the whole day in you know, Diagon Alley, hearing about every little detail, you can do.
And doing every little magic wand, doojiggy.
But you do get the behind the scenes, which is such a cool experience.
Except at Harry Potter, because it's all magic.
Oh, yes, that's true. They don't give you the secrets.
Yeah. And they feed you. So you do get two meals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the important. they do. And you get to eat at Mythos, which is... has been voted, I don't know how many years now, but they've been the number one theme park restaurant for years. The food is actually really incredible there.
Nice. So are there shuttles from each of the resorts, or how are you guys getting back? And you said you walk, is that the only way to get there?
No, we took a water taxi too.
Well, we didn't. Sandy and I said, we don't want to wait in line for that because it's so fast. But
you can also take a bus to. I know you can take it to Cabana Bay. Mm-hmm.
Well, Cabana Bay does not have the water taxi. That's right. The one. Right. That's the only one of the resorts. I think even Aventura is supposed to have the water taxi as well.
I don't think. I think I waited in line for the water taxi at all. I don't remember waiting in a big line for it.
It was like 10 minutes.
I remember it was. Yeah, it was very convenient, I thought. And they were very frequent. They were a lot more frequent than I thought they were going to be. I thought it was going to be every 20 minutes because that's how I've been conditioned. Yep. I've been trained every 20, 20 minutes. But no, it was like instant. One pulled away and I thought I'll have to wait. And there was another one right there.
Yeah.
And then if you want to get in between the resorts and you don't want to take the water taxi, they've also got these like limousines that you can take, and it's as long as you're going from resort to resort, it's free. All you got to do is tip the driver. You can also take them if you need to go up to Walgreens and you just pay for the trip.
Yeah, it's not free in that case. And let's say limo is a car service. They aren't like, I think they do have stretch limos, but
generally it's black car service.
Yeah. So,
which is really nice if you're doing a split stay and you're going from one resort property to another. You know you're going to be able to get your stuff over and you're not have to wait for it to be transferred for you. You can just kind of...
Or if you just want to go drink at Strongwater and you're...
Yeah, exactly. You want to go drink at Strongwater.
Yeah. And so while we're talking about split stays, let's talk about the bigger split stay that I always encourage my clients to do, which is if you are doing a vacation at Walt Disney World, and you want to go to Universal Studios, it's really a good idea to, you know, stay on site for the time that you're there. And you may only be there for a short period of time, but even one night stay at one of the three legacy properties there, the Portofino, the Hard Rock, or the Royal Pacific, will give you 2 days worth of unlimited express passes, the day that you arrive and the day that you check out.
Yeah.
So you can get into, so I actually try to encourage my clients to tack that onto the beginning or the end. And then we, as your travel agent, can help you with the transportation in between the two. And that way, you know, Universal and Disney, they're not that far apart from each other, but they are apart from each other. And it's a good 20-minute drive in decent traffic, and I-4 rarely has decent traffic. So you really could be looking at a real tie-up to you know, so getting there and back in the same day just shortens your day quite a bit. So it does become worthwhile, especially for a bigger family, to stay one night there. And if it's the end of your trip, you know, it's just move your stuff over and then you go on your way. It's not like you're moving your stuff over and then you're moving your stuff back. It's actually a very it simplifies your trip in a lot of ways, rather than going back and forth. And we do still say, you know, staying on property at Disney is a fine choice, and you should still do that when you're going to Disney World. But if you want to visit Universal Studios,
yeah,
there are some great on property options that would benefit you in the long run. Just the ability to walk back,
yeah,
or take a very short transfer back after a long day in those parks. And the Universal parks are a little bit more, they have more intense rides. There's plenty for little kids to do, but they are intense rides. So
actually touching on that, I was surprised at how much there was for little kids to do, because we're talking about, you know, me banging on that canteen, mm-hmm, and squirting us all with water. But that whole area, there was like a Woody Woodpecker ride and
Curious George House.
The Curious George area. Oh my gosh, that whole entire area was huge. And then we went to the other park, Islands of Adventure, and the whole Dr. Seuss Land, or Seuss Landing. I've walked through there a few times, but I've never really delved into it. And there was a lot of really cool stuff in there too. And there's also a Jurassic Park interactive playground.
A little playground.
We didn't go over and look at that. But yeah, I would say, well, what did they say? They said, you know, when people ask what's the perfect age for Universal, they say 42 inches.
Yeah. 42 inches old.
Yeah. Because once you hit that, you can ride almost everything except the really big roller coasters. So you can experience most of the park, mm-hmm, with that.
So I learned something neat about the Seuss trolley train. Because when we went, one side was down. I thought there was two stories. Remember we were talking about this? We thought there was two stories. Mm-hmm. There's actually two tracks, four trains, and each train has two independent different stories, and then they all do the sounds, or the Sneetch story.
Mm-hmm.
The Sneetch, okay. The Star Billy Sneetches. So really, you could actually ride that multiple times with your kids, and they're not going to, you know.
You could ride it over and over again.
Yeah, over and over and over again, and you're not going to drive yourself crazy getting the same story all the time, hopefully.
I would end up with a, oh, this is the same story. Oh, look,
the Star Billy Sneetches are from Who Body. The Who Buddies, right?
The Who Buddies.
It's from Sneetches.
The Sneetches.
Yeah.
The Sneetches.
Yeah. They have stars upon bars. It's the story about everybody wanting to follow a trend.
Sylvester McMonkey McBean. And he brings his star on machine, and he gives them stars for five. What was it?
Is it $2 or
three? I thought it was $3.
$3 makes a mint off of people's insecurities.
Yes.
Because then all the ones with stars don't want
to. Somebody or somebody or.
I don't know.
They're paying to get them on. They're paying to take them off. They're paying to put them back on again.
It's literally like, called Sneetches. I mean, yeah.
We'll have to look that up, Laura, and find out what story you're thinking of, because I'm sure you're thinking about something real, but. I don't think it ties in. Although sometimes there's like a minor character in the Sneetches. I mean, maybe there's some.
Well, and then usually, well, that book has like a couple other stories.
There's actually three stories in there. Yes. Yeah.
So maybe you're right.
I just bought it. I can go look. All right. So one more thing we need to talk about that was super cool was Blue Man Group.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we got to do that too. That was, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, Blue Man Group is famous and it's in many cities, and it's even been to Durham, and so I think people are pretty familiar with it, but I still didn't really quite know what to expect, but it was.
I'm embarrassed to say that I had like written it off. It's not something that I ever thought that I would enjoy doing. And I was like, I don't know what it is, and just never went to do it. I really enjoyed it. It was funny. It was entertaining. It is different. It is very hard, I think, to explain. I think there are some tongue in cheek messages in there, mm-hmm, about, you know, like the cell phone thing and the, like, I don't know.
It's performance art. And I think that's, I mean, you got blue guys in front of you. So clearly there's some aspect of that. So it is a little abstract. But it's not so, I think that's something that scares people off too. Oh, it's a bunch of guys in blue and they're going to drum a little bit. But it's way more than that. And it's not as abstract as you think.
And it's clean.
Yeah.
So you can take the kids to it. And
there were about 60 million different words for bottom.
Yeah, but they were all pretty clean.
Yes.
I will say I found it to be loud. So I think if you have someone in your family who's sensitive to noise, you know, maybe some earplugs or something.
And even lights a little bit. Yeah.
Lights. Yeah, I was going to say strobe lights. Anybody that's triggered by that would probably not be a good fit for that. But I thought it was very, it was a lot more than I had thought it was. And I didn't, you know, and then the benefits of having those tickets. So if you go, let's say it's your first night and you get in late and you, or you're not late, but you're too late to get a full park day in, you don't want to waste a whole park day. Go see the Blue Maker. If you get your entrance to City Walk, mm-hmm. your, to the bars that would normally charge cover. And then, you know, you get your, what else is included in that? The
priority seating at restaurants. So yeah, you sort of get a sort of head start on reservations, things. Mm-hmm. Not that you can make them further in advance, like some other theme parks, but that you, because you have that, you get a higher place.
You're in a different queue.
Yeah. So sort of a fast pass for dining.
Oh, and one more thing. There's one more thing I got to ask, because Lindsay finally got to go to Calfish. What did you think of Calfish?
Oh my gosh, I loved it. Oh, we got to talk about the importance of Calfish was amazing. It took me 45 minutes to decide what I was going to order, because I wanted one of everything on the menu, and that's not going to happen. So I ended up getting a bento box, and I had the Mark sushi roll, and then I don't like sweet potato fries. They're okay, but I had them substitute the truffle fries, and those truffle fries were amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what is in there, but whatever it is, it's incredible. It's And then I watched the guy next to me order this huge dessert that was like the size bigger than his head, and he just ate the whole thing. And I'm like, I'm watching him like a creepy, you know, lady just staring at this guy, and the bartender was too. He's like, I can't believe he ate that.
Sandy ordered that the last, I think it was the last time we all went together.
It was
Jen's going away party. She's back now, but yeah, it was when she went away.
We should have a welcome back party.
Yeah, we should. Sandy ordered this dessert, and I don't know if she even made a dent in it, but the pictures are fantastic.
I'm sure that I passed it on to my children.
Is the dessert?
It's a big ice cream thing with like a whole can of whipped cream, and
it's literally like a foot tall. And I'm not saying it's a foot tall. Like, it is actually a foot tall. Like, it was bigger than Sandy's face. The picture of her beside it, it's like it's bigger
it's a
than.
Good
her
thing face. I have so many children.
It was massive, and I was so impressed, because this was a skinny looking fit guy, and he had it like it was gone. Like, he licked the plate practically.
Nice.
I was kind of really impressed. We also, Donna and I headed out to the, I really wanted to go to the Emporium. That was like, if I didn't go before I went home, I was just not going to take the plane home.
Choose some chocolate Emporium and
savory treat.
Savory Feast Kitchen?
Something like that.
Feast Kitchen, yes.
Savory Feast Kitchen. But it was so, I thought it was so incredibly themed in there. The menus were amazing, and the drinks were so, so good. Donna, what did you have? You had a vanilla chocolate?
I had a vanilla chocolate cocktail. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like a chocolate martini.
So the go ahead.
Chocolate cherry mule, but then that was okay. But what I had that was so, so good was the old chocolate fashion with Bird Dog chocolate whiskey, cherry herring liqueur, sugar, chocolate, and orange bitters. And it was probably one of the best drinks that I've had in a long time.
Yeah. So the Emporium is actually a restaurant, bar, and soda fountain, basically.
And gift shop. They're known for their milkshakes, really fancy milkshakes that you'll see on Pinterest or on Facebook. They make them there.
Yeah. And then the cocktails are the handcrafted. Again, that's one of my favorite things about theme parks, is you can find some of the best bartenders in the world. There are plenty of bars at theme parks that are just, you know, frozen mixes and things like that. But some of these places, yeah.
Even Mez Tavern, they brew, like Orlando Brewing Company brews Duff beer. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool.
But the main thing you were talking about before, the Cowfish restaurant, what makes that restaurant special? I mean,
so
is it like beef and fish? Or
the original one is in Charlotte, and then they opened one in Raleigh, and then they opened one in City Walk. And yeah, it's just really cool. They call it Burgushi, so burgers and sushi. And
the guy on the other side of me actually ordered Burgushi. So it came out with the potato potato sticks wrapped together in to make like a bun over the burger. And the bartender told him, and the burger was massive. And the bartender told him, once you pick it up, you have to commit to eating the whole thing, because if you set it down, it's going to fall apart.
I can't put it down again. Well, I always get the bento box, which is a little bit of everything. It's got some sushi, and it's got little slider burgers, which, you know, you can get the burger of the day. And
but so some good. Of the sushi rolls also are beef-related. Like, they'll have...
There's like a filet mignon one.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah.
There's a lobster and filet one that my bartender was trying to recommend to me, but I didn't want to commit to that much food. I thought, okay. Well, I didn't even finish like of my bento box. I ate the sushi roll and then like some of the truffle fries, and then I was done. I didn't even get to touch the edamame or the.
Oh man. So,
well, where did you eat, Elizabeth?
We went to Margaritaville. Which I don't want to say it's nothing special, but it's a Margaritaville. They're all over the country. So.
Yeah. Cowfish, I think, is the gem there.
Yeah. Right? Although some people ate at Vivo, which is an Italian place, and they had a really good experience there. And that's not quite as, that's one interesting thing about City Walk is it's a mix of chain restaurants and, I mean, I guess you could say Cowfish is a chain, but there's three of them in the country. Yeah. And two of them are in North Carolina.
I just think it's so unique, and the decor is awesome. And
yeah, but there's a Mexican restaurant there that is more authentic Mexican food, and they'll do tableside guac. But there's also a Bubba Gump's. There's a Moe's. Yeah. There's a Burger King.
I really think the Emporium is the star for food, because like there was a guy next to me that was eating sliders that had chocolate covered bacon.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
On top of them. And the chocolate bread. And, like, I ordered tachos, which are tater tot nachos. And even though I was not hungry enough to order, I was like, I can't come here and not try something. So I got the tachos. And they had pork belly, crispy pork belly. And there was a spicy sausage cheese sauce on them, and it was so, so, so good. So I don't know. I think you gotta go eat there, Sandy, because as much as I love Cowfish, was amazing.
I can't go to Cowfish here.
So I just had dessert.
I'll go. Well, okay. When I go in August with my family, we'll go to Toothsome. Check it out.
And have one of those desserts, because I spent a while looking at them, but I didn't get a chance to eat any of them because there was nowhere to put it.
I will take one for the team.
Assignment accepted.
All right, guys. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us on outlandertravel.com and then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Flyaway. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Lindsay, Elizabeth, Laura, Donna, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!